going to take a look at this passage of Scripture. It's a familiar one to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Because I think the Lord wants to minister this passage today. This is a good enough reason for me. It goes like this. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. It goes like this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Sounds good, doesn't it? For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Of course, you know that, and I do too, as the, golden rule, we call that, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, what's this all about? Well, if you asked 99 out of 100 Christians, they would tell you that this passage is about prayer. And I would actually have to disagree with that. Don't let your pastors and your teachers get lazy. That is not what's going on here. Not primarily, anyway. I don't know that this is really about prayer. In part, maybe. But starting with verse 1 of that passage and ending in verse 12, this whole entire passage is about judging other people. It's about discerning things, not casting your pearls before swine. It's about taking the plank out of your own eye and not pointing out the speck in your brother's eye. Jesus is trying to complete a thought, and then with well intentions, we rush in and call this about prayer. I don't think it is. So what is it about? I think it's about restoring relationships, withholding quick judgment, trying not to be reactionary with one another, but to be redemptive and restorative. This passage, as I hope to make a case, is not about primarily prayer. Now, there is a skill that we need to be prosperous and successful in life. There's this skill that we need. And by my observation anyway, perhaps yours, this skill is diminishing in its intensity in people's lives. And when the skill diminishes, the will to use it diminishes too. I don't know. I think I know why this is happening. I'm pretty sure it is happening. But people in general, in the kingdom or out, are having a difficult time reconciling with one another, understanding one another, communicating effectively with one another. And I think it's probably because we're communicating more and more through using technology. I think it's the thing that's a wedge that's coming in that's taking up for face-to-face communication, body language, looking into a person's eyes. It's taking the romance out of dating. You don't even date anymore. I heard this the other day. You don't date. You just start talking on a text stream. That's step one. Wow, man, I'm glad I came up when I did. I didn't want to text with my wife. I just wanted to see her, right? I mean, she's gorgeous. What do I have to text? What do I have to text for? So I think this ask, seek, and knock is less about prayer and more about relationships. Let me explain. Since it's my job, in part, is to equip you and encourage you, as I encourage and equip myself, using the word of God. Let's look at this. Ask, seek, and knock in the context of building, restoring, reconciling relationships and not passing judgment on other people. Ask. Okay, it's just a simple word. Ask. Ask who? Ask those nearest you in relationship to you questions. Ask questions of those in physical proximity to yourself. Forget the ask questions of the people across the world or throughout the social media realm. Just ask in general, ask people that you're trying to have relationships with in person, ask them questions. Did you know, I found this interesting, that four-year-olds on average ask 437 questions a day? Isn't that amazing? I thought it was by lunchtime, but it's a full day. How many of your grandsons and granddaughters ask some serious questions? I mean, like, it's a nonstop thing. Jesus, in the four Gospels, asked 300 questions. Okay. If he asked 300 questions, we ought to be asking questions more often than we do. Why is it important to ask questions? When I ask you a question in physical proximity to you in something called a conversation in person, this is a whole new dynamic for some of you. Do they ever have these at Western Carolina University? A conversation that happens in the same room, two people at the same time. Has this ever happened down there? I'm asking. Okay. So you ask a question. Why? Because when you ask a question, it actually says that I might not have the answer and I need it. It also might do something, check this out. If I don't know something and I ask you a question, I'm revealing I don't know it, and I'm asking, in part, I'm asking permission to dialogue with you about something because you're going to answer it. When you're evangelizing, when you're encouraging, when you're counseling people, please do not divorce yourself from asking questions. We've got to ask questions. Jesus asked questions like, who condemns you? Who are you afraid of? Who do you say that I am? Do you believe? Do you want to get well? See, he knew the answers to his questions, but he still asked them because he knew how important questions were for the other person. We, in part, think we know the answers to some of these questions, but we don't. And it's just as important for us as followers of Christ to ask questions of others so that we better understand where they're coming from. Remember, we are having a diminished capacity to communicate correctly. Pointed, clear questions will reveal things that are going on in people's minds and hearts, what their opinions are, what their stance is, why they're upset with you or me. The right question will reveal the right answer. Get busy asking questions. Ask, and it will be given to you. Now, we think that that's a prayer thing. Well, of course it's a prayer thing, but not whatever you ask you're going to get. It's not really about prayer. It's about relationship. You don't really think that if you ask God for anything, you're going to get it, do you? I hope not. Okay, let's try it. Everybody this afternoon, ask God for a Bentley. And then next Sunday, let's see how many Bentleys we have in the parking lot. So we'll take it out for a test. I need to ask you something if I don't know. I need to ask you something if I think I know. Husbands and wives, ask one another questions. Why? Because when you ask, you're in discovery mode, not debate mode. You're in discovery mode, not argument mode. If you have your mind made up about what the answer is to another person's question, you're getting in argument mode, confrontation mode. We can't know what's going on in another person's heart or mind unless we afford them the luxury of actually asking a question about it. Asking it will be given to you. What will be given to you? Clarity, understanding. Something to basically understand where the other person is. Ask and it will be given to you. And when you ask and they answer, they have now given you permission to have the conversation. If I just impose something on you, if I tell you what I already think you're thinking, if I tell you where it's going to be, if I tell you you're wrong, I tell you you're out of line, but I don't ask a question, I might be end up having a debate or an argument with someone who doesn't even want to have a conversation to begin with. Ask. Ask. It's not forcing. An unwillingness to answer the question is okay too, because it's just not time to have that conversation. Which elicits a second question. If not now, can we soon sit down and talk about this? It's important to me, and I want it to be important to you. Will you give me that opportunity? Let's keep the communication open. Asking. Jesus gave messages that I think when the people left the sermon, it wasn't exactly crystal clear. Do you ever pick up on that? It's like they were like, what? And it's almost like taking like a 12-hour cold tablet. Like 5 o'clock that afternoon, it kind of dawns on, oh, yeah, I got it, right? So Jesus asked questions, then he gave sermons, and then the sermons necessitated some processing. Man, if I could pick anything about what I do in my calling, it would be to share something of the scripture that is clear enough to understand what it is, but not totally. But it necessitates a process to go back and think about it, to apply it, to chew on it, to meditate on it, to digest it, and become more like what you eat, the bread of life. All right? Asking questions and the way that we answer them gives us an opportunity to give people what they need, what they say they want, to clarify things, but not totally clarify, because we each want to have that revelation in and of ourselves that what was shared with us is something we need to think about. Ask questions, but give people time to process, okay? That's ask. Second one is seek, obviously. You ask those that you are with, in physical proximity with, and you seek those that are away from you. What does that mean? There's an incredible, incredible power of physical presence, and this is diminishing daily when we communicate with one another more and more and more from a distance. I get, two of our grandchildren live in Maui, okay, and they surf, and they do all kinds of, our grandson does like extreme games, and he's got this phenomenal physical ability. So what, every once in a while, we'll get a video on our text message thing, right? And sometimes a video, do you have anybody explain this to me after the service, why it's smaller than a postage stamp and you can't get it bigger? Am I just inept? I don't know. Anyway. I can watch him climbing a wall in an extreme games, and I can watch them surfing on the water. But you know, and I know, it's totally different than when you go to your grandson's baseball game and you sit up to the left of the dugout, right? We have to seek out people that we have relational issues with and make sure we have physical proximity. It shows that you care. I'm watching, I don't know, how many of you, by show of hands, are watching The Chosen on the phone app? I'd encourage that. I think you'd really like it. Start with season one. They're on season two right now. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, Jesus takes his disciples into Samaria, and pretty much they're all freaking out. Because the Samaritans, like, well, they spit on him in one time, and they throw rocks at him, and they're threatened. They're dangerous. Their physical well-being is actually compromised by being in Samaria. The people don't like them, right? And they don't like them. It's a very tense environment when Jews and Samaritans are in the same place. But who led them there? And who walked there? And who went out of their way to go to Samaria to talk to the woman at the well and then hang out there and go into the towns and teach? Who did that? Jesus. Why? He's seeking. He understands that if I want to communicate with these people, I got to show them some respect. If I want to have some influence in their life, I got to go to them. I did a message not long ago. And there's a gentleman here. He told me, I'm going to follow up with that message and I'm going to Charleston to talk to that guy. And I thought, boom. There it is, physical proximity. He got in his truck and he went to Charleston, he's going to talk to that person about that issue he wanted to talk to them about. What does the guy in Charleston think when the guy shows up? What are you doing in town? I came to talk to you. Well, why don't you text me? Because I care about you and I want to have a conversation. I want to ask you something, so I'm seeking you out. See, seeking is something that is unfortunately becoming more and more difficult for us to do, and it's less and less an occurrence. Jesus came in Luke 19 and 10, he said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I think half the issue on ironing out family issues or situations is to take the trouble to go seek somebody out and meet with them in person. The person who is sought out sees you coming and says, "Well, what are you doing in town? Do you have a business thing or something?" "No, I exclusively came to talk to you." It says they care. I know I've done quite a bit, actually, of traveling around the world speaking about the Bible and whatnot. And you know what is a common denominator in any country? It is this idea that there is a deep level of gratitude that you left your family. And by the way, every time I go on a trip, something goes wrong at home. It's usually the HVAC or something's wrong. Something falls apart. Some wall falls off the house or the roof caves in. Something. But they say you left your family. You took the time to come here. And we deeply appreciate that. This is why Jesus is saying ask and seek. It speaks volumes before you ever verbalize a word. Seek. Ask and seek. Show up before you speak out. Don't speak out and then show up. Show up says plenty, then speak out. There I've also witnessed this, and I don't want to belabor the point, but there are controversial issues that are dealt with on social media. So people will put a post. We all do this. I don't anymore. I don't even make a post. But what they do is they basically take a grenade and with their mouth they pull the pin out and then they launch it through the cyber world and it lands in someone's feed. Boom! It blows up. We launch controversial subjects that, hey, listen, have never in the history of the internet changed anybody's mind about a subject. It only stirs things up. Never once has anyone goes, "Hey, you're right. You know what? I'm going to change a 180. I'm going to do a 180 today because you launched that grenade into my laptop." We've got to seek people out if we really want to make a difference. Now, you can say, "Well, you're still on this page that says this is about prayer. Ask, seek, and knock." Okay, make it about prayer if you want to, but not to the extent where prayer becomes an evasive technique. Please don't give me this. I'm praying about this, and I have been for 10 years. I'm not going to talk to the guy, but I'm definitely praying about it. Prayer was never meant to be some sort of hiding place from action. Faith without works is dead. You can pray for decades for someone to have a reconciliation with you, and you never ask them a question, and you never seek them out. You never ask for permission to have a conversation. And your prayer will definitely go, your answer will be no. The real answer was, get off your chair and go seek that person out and reconcile with them. There's your answer. Don't say God doesn't answer your prayer, because he'll say, "What are you hiding in prayer for? I never created prayer to be a hiding place. I created it to be a motivation place, a place of clarity, a place of insight, a place of building up love and respect and edifying, and then go minister to somebody." Ask and seek. And the third one is knock. Now, asking is for personal, right up front in front of you. Seeking is to go have a meeting with someone. Now, knocking exists when there's a barrier between you and another person. It could be a door. Could be a resentment, could be misunderstanding, could be an offense, could be a betrayal. You know, maybe someone betrayed you and you're not over it yet. You need it. Well, go knock on their door. Ask them questions. Do what needs to be done, if it's appropriate, in prayer to release you from that. It is to your glory to overlook an offense. It is not to your glory to harbor an offense and resentment for the rest of your life and let it eat at you from the inside out. Knock. Just misunderstandings can exist that get exaggerated for a lack of communication that we need to go knock. Don't break the door down like a Roman centurion needing hospitality. Knock. Give someone the opportunity to hear your voice, just like Jesus did in Revelation 3 and 20. Knock. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. I love that word, sup. I think rap singers use it now, but it means what's up. But it means let's have something to eat. Let's have some barbecue. Think about that. Knock, hear my voice, open the door, come in, and we'll sup. I like that. I'm knocking, I'm pursuing you. I'm not evading you. I'm not staying away from you. I'm not ignoring you. I'm pursuing you. And there it is. I'm knocking. And hear my voice. And when you hear my voice, what do you hear in my voice? Despair, emptiness, confusion, hurt, hope. Not just a voice, but what do you hear in the voice when you want to reconcile with that person? What do you hear in that voice that would cause you to want to maybe open the door versus not open it? And when you open it, you can dine together. Well, in the Middle Eastern world, dining together is everything. Dining together is reconciliation. Dining together is friendship. Dining together is love. Dining together is covenant. It's huge. Knock. How do we be the leaders in relationships to schlep light and hope with us to people who have an issue that we can go to them? Be the leader. Go to them. And say, hey, you know, what's going on? I want to ask you some questions. I have no idea where you're coming from. I want to understand you. I want to ask you. I'm seeking you out. You mean something to me. Okay, what's wrong with that? Jesus wants us to invite us into with them a mutual collaboration. I'm a little concerned about what I see in the world and in the kingdom, frankly. I'm concerned that we're woefully getting lazy at developing and refining this skill to reconcile the world to Christ and to reconcile ourselves one to another. Because as I said, when the skill diminishes, the will to do so diminishes. And then after a while, we're really no different than the world. If so, explain. I don't understand how we would be. Ask, seek, and knock. Maybe you have a situation that comes to mind of someone that for which there's unfinished business, or you're not quite there yet in understanding. You can go your separate ways, but you don't quite understand yet. At least have an understanding, right? When you're disagreeing or trying to hash out an issue in your living room, can somebody start with a question? Or two? Or three? Can we seek the other person out to have the conversation once? Twice, three times? And can we knock on the door of their heart and say, will you let me in? I wanna know. It means something to me to know. I don't want to impose something on you. I want to really know. But when we do that, oh my goodness, we better be ready to own and confess and ask for forgiveness, right? Ask, seek, and knock. All right, let's put the message into practice, shall we? Maybe you've thought of someone that you need to sit down with and ask. Mutual exchange of questions to start with. Maybe there's someone you need to seek out. Maybe You may even need some help with this one. There's a barrier between you and someone else. Requires some knocking. And then, of course, is there not always the Lord? Yeah, there's always Him, isn't there? Let's pray. Father, is there anything that you would ask of us today as individuals, as your children, that needs attention? We ask of you, Lord, if is there anything that we have done to offend you or hurt you? What would you have us to do? Correct? Confess? What is in the darkness that needs to come out in the light as we examine ourselves at your table? Would you be so kind as to share those questions with us even today? And afford us the willingness to answer them, that our friendship may deepen. Are we seeking you in a manner you're pleased with that benefits our love for you and you for us? Are we practicing a ministry of reconciliation or simply announcing its availability in you? What barriers exist between us? What areas of unforgiveness or resentment exist? Would you be so kind as to help us, Lord, alleviate us of such weight, rectify such situations? You ask if we believe, we believe. You sought us out and you came to this world. And you continually stand at the door and knock daily. Have we heard your voice today? And have we opened the door? Have we let you into those areas of our life in need of light and love? May we sup with you at this meal and leave here freer than when we came. We do love you and thank you that you ask, you seek, and you knock. If there is a plank in our eye and we tend to point out the speck in a brother's eye, forgive us. Help us. Help us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. On the night our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you, the body of Jesus Christ. Death was a massive barrier between us and eternality. Sin was a massive barrier between us and God. And he broke down that barrier with his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Sins are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb.